So I've been talking the last 2 weeks about perceived hardness. Somebody say perceived hardness. And this is such an important message, because what Satan would want to happen is you start following God. And he starts instructing you on what to do and what not to do. How many know many times we get in our mess, not coincidentally, but on purpose? Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. How many raise your hand and say, testify, you know what? I've gotten in a big mess, and a lot of it's been my fault. How many would be honest and raise your hand and say, okay, all of us, really, okay. Okay, so see, the Bible says you're blessed in what you do. One of the things that we say over and over in this church, because we want people to understand, good choices, good life. Amen? And I'm not saying that, because there are things that happen in our life where, you know what, it doesn't have to do with us. How many know you can be driving down the street and somebody can hit your car and had nothing to do with you? But it has everything to do with you, how you act in response to those things. Oh, I'll give you a chance to think about, chew on that a while. It has everything to do with what happens, how you respond to those things. Amen? See, we get a lot of the mess that we get in is because bad choices that we make. Then a lot of the mess we get in is because when things don't go perfect in our life, we cop a wrong attitude. Does that make sense? But God wants to say, no. You know what? You're not like Candace, or I mean, you're not like Kansas wrote. You know what? You're not just, you know what, dust in the wind. Remember what they sang, you know what? All we are is what? Dust in the wind. You think, oh, I'm just dust and I just get blown. No, you're not. Amen. You're not a whatever. You have been created in the image of God. Amen. You have got purpose in your life, and God's got a purpose that he planted you here to do something. Amen. So you start make good choices, and you start making good choices, and those choices have ramifications in the positive and the negative, but you start making godly choices, and things start to go better, and Satan doesn't like that. Amen? So he starts to tempt you with, you know what, the good old days. Amen? The good old days, you know what I mean? Right? And the reality is Satan's a liar, amen? They weren't good old days, amen? They were bad old days. They were foolish, crazy. I mean, start remembering the whole story, amen? Start remembering the whole story, you know what I mean? Don't remember just till 10 o'clock. Remember what happened after 10 o'clock. Amen? Amen. Remember what happened 9 months later. Somebody say amen to me. What are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Amen? All I'm saying is, no. And how many know sin is pleasurable for a moment? But after, there's going to be a mess. And you remember that mess. Because all Satan will want you to do is remember that 30 seconds. And your flesh will play right into it. So then you start thinking, I got to get up and go to church. I got to get up and go to church. Watch your mouth. Amen? Amen? You don't got to go to church. You get to go to church. Amen. Amen. But you start thinking this is like, So we've been talking about this for 2 weeks. And this week I recognize, you know what, Drew, you've got to deal with some other passages in the Bible. Because Jesus says, in the world, there's tribulation. Did Jesus say that? Does the Bible say in Psalms that many are the afflictions of the righteous? You know the Bible says that? Yeah, it says that too. What way? Yeah, what about that, Pastor? What about that? What about that? Well, you know what? We don't have to. You know what I love about this church? I love about this church. This church teaches the whole counsel of God. Amen. You don't have to listen. We don't have to run from those passages. But don't you dare think for a moment. Don't allow yourself to think that the best life isn't the Christian life. Because let me tell you what. The more you got a God, the better your life is going to be. The less you have a God, the worse your life is going to be. And don't watch it. Because the Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. So you start to think about, and why do you think that? Here's why, because you still got some flesh. Right? So, you know what? You start, you know, I got to, you know, got to go to prayer. You know, got to tithe. Got, whoa. You are coming at this thing completely the wrong way. And you're opening up yourself to understand God's commandments are not burdensome. So let's do some review, and then we're going to look at some passages where the Bible says some things because we need to address that. But it doesn't change the fact of, you know what the Bible says. We've reviewed it, but we'll go over it again. If you're willing and obedient, notice the positive. Notice what God says. There's going to be blessings. You shall eat the what? The good of the land. Everybody say the good of the land. Now, this isn't coincidental. God will not force you to eat the good of the land. He didn't force the Israelites to eat the good of the land. And as they continued to choose, I'm going to have a bad attitude, and I'm gonna blame God for everything. You know what? God eventually said, enough is enough. And if that's what you want, if that's what you keep on thinking, then that's what you're going to have. And you won't go into the land that I promised, you know what, that I wanted to bless you with. Amen. But if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. You shall do it. Amen. Another passage, you know this. We looked over this last week. You know what? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Blessed, not cursed. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in him. Yeah, but what about the persecution, Jesus? Okay, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that. But those passages don't change these passages. And matter of fact, what I'm going to show you how those passages are actually in line with these passages. Amen? Somebody said, there's all kind of contradictions in the Bible. Next time somebody says that, just sit there and say, yeah, what? Show them to me. Amen? Now, there are some different viewpoints. What does a police officer do when he comes to an accident? He'll get these people and to get an understanding. How many know the cop wasn't there? So what the police officer will do is he'll try to get 4 eyewitnesses. You know what? Tell me what happened. And notice when he gets them together, he won't put them together. He'll put them separate. How many know cops, if everybody's saying the same thing, you know what cops think? Something going on here, amen. Because people don't see an accident the same way. They're all looking at it from their point of view. And what they recognize is a lot of times when people are saying the same thing, it doesn't prove that it's real. It proves that they're lying. Does that make sense? How many, come on, how many watching us detective movies and know that's true? What do? They separate them out. They say, okay. And then, but why are they getting different variances of the one same accident? Because people are looking at it from a different point of view. A different angle. A different perspective. And so, you know what? We read Matthew, we read Mark, we read Luke, and we read John. And you know what? It's, watch this, it's a different angle. But they're not contradictory. Amen. And these passages that I'm going to go over with you about persecution, they're not contradictory to these other passages that talk about blessing coming to those who are obedient. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are the man who puts in trust in him. And then, of course, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Somebody say rest. How many like taking a nap every once in a while? Oh, it's so good. Amen. Rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am, what is he?
Gentle
and lowly in heart, and you will find, there it is, rest. Somebody say rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah, but Pastor, what about the persecution that Jesus talks about? What about many are the afflicted of the righteous? We'll get to that in a minute. Let's just stick with this one for a while. I was listening to Armstrong. If you haven't been blessed to hear Armstrong, make sure you don't miss. I think he's coming the second week in January. He is, amen. He is a missionary to Africa. He's a close friend of mine. You know what? We met at Mesa Bible Chapel when I was just 20-something. And you know what? He has ministered to this church for now probably almost 10 years. Total blessing. But I was listening to one of his messages just yesterday, and he said this. He said, he said there was, in his heavy African accent, he said, there was a drought in the land. There was a drought in the land. I'm like, there's a drought in the land? If he would have told me, hey, Pastor Drew, there is a big drought in Kentucky, I would have no idea what he was talking about. Oh, there's a drought. What's a drought? I have no idea what a drought is. Okay. How did I know what he was talking about? Here's why. Because I listened to the context. Amen? And by the way, you know what? Don't make fun of anybody because of their accents. Just a side note. You know what I mean? You know, people who know two languages know twice as many vocabulary words than you. Silencio, por favor. You know what? People who know three languages know three times your vocabulary. People who know four languages know four times your vocabulary. I think Armstrong knows six languages. How dare anyone make fun of a pronunciation? You know what I mean? Egads, you don't even pronunciate English words right. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. So I want to make sure you understand what I'm teaching you. But I had no idea what drought means except to put it in context. And because it was in context, I knew exactly what he's talking about. Here's what he said. He was talking about, he was using a passage in the Old Testament, and he said that there was a famine in the land. And then he said, some versions say there was a drought in the land. Well, I knew what drought was. Drought was drought with a heavy African accent. It was drought. What I want to do is I want to show you how important it is to understand, because when you understand the context of what God is saying, what I teach you? What do we do when we don't understand the passage? Where do we go? We read, somebody help me, we read what? We read the verse before and we read the verse after, amen? And then we read what? The chapter before, and then we read chapter. And many times, just reading the verse before, or two verses, or three verses before, and after, all of a sudden, well, I did that to this verse, and I'm telling you, it opened the whole thing up. Because you think, you know what we think when we think of easy? Our society, for the most part, is very productive. But there's also much of society nowadays has become very lazy. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen. Side note, ladies, if you're dating someone who doesn't have a job, amen. Amen. Slip out the back, Jack. Because you are seeing a preview of future coming attractions. Amen. 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 Thank you. Exactly. So I'm just saying. Okay. We're not talking about people who are legitimately disabled. I'm not talking about those people. But you're smart. You know the difference. Amen. You know the difference. So in this passage, this word easy, we think easy means you're not doing nothing. That's not what Jesus is saying. And in this passage, if you just looked at the Greek word, the Greek word is Christos. You say, Pastor, how do you know the pronunciation? Because I got this software that I just hit this thing and it gives me the perfect Greek pronunciation. It is really cool. It's really cool. So the word is Christos, and what it means is it's translated easy, but it's also translated, the same word is translated kind. And it's also translated better. Now, better is a great way to translate this in context of what it's saying. You know what he says before that in verse 20? He says this. He says, he's speaking to some cities that have seen the miracles that he performed. And with seeing the miracles that he performed, they still won't let go of their selfish, carnal, ungodly ways. Amen? And so he is speaking of the coming judgment that is going to come to them because of their willingness not to let go of sin. Listen, every single one of us make choices to either hold sin or let it go, to receive what Satan has for us or to reject what Satan has for us. Every single one of us is going to give an account for the choices that we make. And Jesus is saying in these passages before this, he's talking about these cities that won't let go even after they see the blessings of God. Let me speak to this group. Watch your heart and watch your behavior, because to whom much is given, much is required. Amen. Amen. And you have got a lot of understanding of the things of God. And so there needs to be great responsibility to what's going on. This group should be very, very fruitful concerning the spirituality and the kingdom of God. Why? Because there's been so much seed grown. God doesn't look and see a whole land where there's 10 seeds and he sees a little bit of fruit. And then he comes over here and he sees a portion of land where there's 100 seeds and he sees more fruit. And then he comes over there to this group of land where he sees 1,000 seeds sown, but he sees very little fruit. Oh, trust me, there's going to be some consequences for these people over here. Amen. And this group here, I'm talking about American Christians, but I'm talking about specifically Hope Christians in the 11 o'clock service are going to have great responsibility to have fulfilled the purpose that God called us to fulfill because he has been so faithful to us. Amen. Amen. And Jesus is saying in this context, man, there's these people and they, you know what? Oh my goodness. They've been given so much and they continue to reject me. And then after all that, he says in verse 28, come to me, you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This word, Christos, can be interpreted like this, can be translated this, for my yoke is better than this junk over here that these people will refuse to let go of. Amen. This word easy is a comparative word comparing the junk that all these other people have. What it's not saying, listen to me, what Jesus isn't saying is the Christian life is a kickback life where you hardly have to do anything and where you're not going to have anybody upset with you. That's not what he's saying. And if you think about it biblically, who wants to live a life like that anyway? It's an unproductive life, and we should hate that kind of life. Amen? You know, people at your works, I hope you never have said this. Oh, you know what? How you doing? Well, as little as I can without getting fired. Shame on you. You ought to be the most productive person in your job. Amen? You know what? When your supervisor, you know what, retires, the people over him ought to go, this is a no-brainer. I tell you who we're going to produce, or I mean who we're going to promote. Amen? Amen? Or you ought to be thinking like, you know what, think like, you know what, Brian West thinks. You know what? He was running the business for somebody else. For years and years. And one day he just thought, I don't know. Why don't I run my own business? Amen. Can you say amen to this? Amen. So this thought of easy, Jesus isn't saying, hey, my yoke is kick back, dude. That's not what he's saying. He's saying is compared to these other goofballs who won't let go of sin and there's going to be consequences in their life. I'm telling you what, my life is way, you know what, follow me because following me is way better what these guys are doing. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So why is there persecution? Well, all you have to do is watch a good the old Batman TV flick, and you'll. How many remember the old Batman? I'm not talking about the movies. You know, how many re-movies of Batman can they make? You know what I mean? It's like, there's the new Spider-Man. Oh, is it the new Spider-Man or the new Spider-Man? or the new Spider-Man? I don't know. But how many remember the real Batman? Amen? Adam West. Okay. And I was watching just a good episode just yesterday. Amen? And Adam West, how come Batman was always getting into trouble? You know why? Because he had an adversary. How many know we have an adversary? And so I was watching this one, and Mr. Freeze. How many remember Mr. Freeze? Oh, Mr. Freeze was, I loved, you know, how many remember Egghead? Remember Egghead? Oh, yeah. I mean, they had some cool characters. Mr. Freeze, I think, was my favorite. And Mr. Freeze had Batman and Robin in this kind of dry ice contraption and chamber all mixed in one. Conchamber. Amen. Lawrence, don't let anybody tell you that, you know what, graduates from Pioneer High School are not highly intellectual. Because one of the ways you can tell high IQ is, are you able in real time to take two words and spit one word out of it? I do it with a lot of frequency. Amen? A lot of efficiency. Not even knowing what I'm doing. I got to stop after and figure out what I just said. I know it's two words. I just don't know. Okay, anyway. What word was that? Conchamber, okay? So, and they are, and then, it, so here's what happens at, you know, Batman. At the end of every episode, Batman and Robin are jacked up. And in this episode, they're in this, you know what, dry ice freeze chamber, and the narrator comes in and he says, "What is going to happen to Batman and Robin? Will they become a human snow cone? Will they be able to get out of this frozen mess?" And then he says, "You know what? Tune in tomorrow to the same bat time and the same what? Bat channel." Well, here's what I'm saying. Why is he always getting into a mess? Here's why. Because he's always got an adversary. If you think Jesus is saying, when you come into my kingdom, that you're not going to have an adversary, you are mistaken. Because that's not what he's saying. We'll look at another passage in a minute, and Jesus says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Somebody say tribulation. But see, we've got to be very careful in who we're listening to, because some of them are our, how many have some relatives who know just enough in the Bible to get you in trouble? Come on, somebody. And they'll tell you things, and they're saying it out of context, even us. You know, that's why it's so important. And I don't know everything. I'm still learning all kinds of stuff. But how many know God is gifted, you know what, gives gifts to certain people to be a blessing to you? Amen. He blesses, Jesus blessed pastors to be able to look at some things to help us all understand. So you look at this and you understand, oh, I get it. In context, when I read the whole context, this word easy isn't talking about how we define easy. It's talking about in comparison to serving Satan. Amen. Okay. So, I like what Tamara said in the first service. I'm just pointing this out to you also. We do need to recognize, we need to take responsibility. A lot of the mess we get into has nothing to do with the persecution coming on the church. It has to do with bad choices that we've made. Hello. Oh, but I don't know, I'm so persecuted. No, you're just making some foolish choices, Jackson. Right? But then there is some persecution coming to the church. And it's coming to the church, listen, because we have an adversary. But let's look at some passages And let's see what God says about it. And let's look at, let's do what we say, look at it in context. In context, you're going to start to understand what he's saying. Look at the verse before, look at the verse after. Look at this one. And we don't even have to look at the verse before, verse after. We can just look at the verse. I took out the middle. Oh, I don't have it. I quoted the middle one. Right in the middle, Jesus says this. Do you see it? In the world, you will have tribulation. Now, is that true or is it not true? Jesus said it. It's true. But let's read a little bit before and a little bit after. Can I stop here and teach you something? Somebody want to learn something theologically? In this, you read John 16, 13. 33, thank you. You know why you read John 16, 33? Because, you know what? About 150 years ago, someone said, you know what? Let's put some references in. Because that would be a lot easier than getting a scroll out. You know, this is my scroll. I can have what it says I can have. I can do. It would. How long? No, it would take me a long time for us all to find, you know what, this passage, if we all had scrolls. If these were what it was, one book. And I'm saying, hey, there's this part where Jesus talks about in the world of tribulation, and it's about three-fourths in your scroll down. How many know when you find it, say amen? How many know what the whole preaching time would be? Oh, we found it. All right, well, God bless you. We'll see you next week. So some smart person said, let's make these references. Here's my point. My point is when we're going up to the verse before and the verse after, we're really not going up. You know, Jesus didn't say, John, you know what? John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you. He didn't say that. He was just talking. So let's look a bit before and a bit after. Look what it says. Yeah, but in the world there's tribulation. I know, but look what Jesus said. Look. These things I have spoken to you that you may have what? Peace. You're going to have some tribulation. Why? Because you have an adversary. So what? Why so what? Why? In the world, you have tribulation. Watch this. But, somebody say but. Don't be all bummed out. I don't want tribulation. I know. I want my life to be easy. I don't want to do nothing. I said in the first service, first chapter, first service. That's funny. You're on a bicycle. You're going up Whittier Boulevard. You turn left on Kalima. Are you happy or are you sad? I'm sad. I said I don't like to go up the hill. Okay. What's Richard? Is Richard sad or Richard happy? Give me that hill, man. Taking you down, dude. See, it's all perspective. Here, let me give you some perspective. When have you grown the most? I'm just asking. When do you develop? Oh, here, I'll say it this way. You're on your couch. You're eating chips with salsa. You know what I love? I like chips with salsa with sour cream. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. See, all I'm saying is think about your life. When do you develop? When do you really develop something? I don't develop something. Well, I do develop, you know what, an opportunity to buy bigger pants. But there's no muscle development when I'm doing that which is easy. There is development when I get up and I go downstairs and I start doing my lat pull and I start doing my something else. I don't even know what they call it. And my flesh goes, stop, stop. I don't like this part. And I override what my flesh says and I do what my spirit says. You know what Romans says? Romans says, if you allow your mind to be carnally minded, then you're going to have destruction in your life. But if you'll change your mind and get it your mind thinking in the spiritual realm, you're going to have life and peace. Peace. Somebody say peace. See, where is the development happening? When Richard goes up the hill or when Richard goes down the hill? It's when he goes up the hill. And he knows that. And he sees it, even though it's difficult, he doesn't see that as bad. He sees that as good. It's his perspective. Now, how many know Richard is going to also enjoy going down the hill? Amen? But Richard has a good perspective to say, no, I'm going to enjoy going up and going down. And if he's honest with himself, Richard, because of his development, is going to say, you know what? And I really liked going up the hill better than going down the hill. Amen. Well, I'm just giving you a physical aspect of what needs to take place spiritually. You know, the Bible says fight the what kind of fight of faith? What does he call it? Good fight of faith. Why? Here's why. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Dude, yeah, you have tribulation. Why? Because you have an adversary. But who cares about your adversary? You got God living inside you. Be of good cheer. He has overcome the world and he lives inside you. Amen. So are you kidding? You're sweating it out because, you know what, you got a two-on-two with two college, you know what, basketball players. Who cares? It's you and who's the new Laker? I mean, if I'm playing basketball with LeBron James, dude, I ain't sweating you, amen? Me and LeBron are going to whoop on you with a smile on our face. That's why God is saying, why are you sweating this? Yes, I'm telling you in advance. You know what? In the world, there's tribulation, but why are you sweating this? Be of good cheer. Let me tell you what I've done. I've already done it for you. I've already come the world. Amen. Are you getting something out of this? Yeah, but Pastor, what? I wanted to. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Yeah, the devil, we got an adversary, the devil. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So what's Satan doing? He's coming he's coming as a lion. Somebody say, as a lion. What does that mean? It means he's like, ooh, I'm a lion. Ah. I told the first service, we used to have this little dog, Buffy was his name. Just a mutt dog, you know what I mean? But Buffy had an attitude, you know what I mean? Buffy came as a lion. And anybody in their right mind would look at Buffy and go, you ain't no lion. You know, Christians, we are looking at the Buffys and acting like, ooh, look, a lion. That's not a lion. That's a little dog, amen? You could kick it like a football if you wanted. Too bad. Yeah, that's not politically correct. I'm saying, are you kidding me? No, I think I watched this guy one time. He's great, great, great story. And when I grew up, we lived in Whittier Villas condominium. So they didn't have, you know what, we had one, we had grass areas that were everybody, so they were long, you know what I mean, big places. And it was a great place to grow up because we could play football, all kinds of things. It was really cool. So, but in front of our house, there was this big, I mean, it was like probably a block and a half worth of grass. And Buffy got out, and there was like this 14-year-old. And he was walking all the way up, and as he was walking, Buffy was just, you know what I mean? And every once in a while, this kid, 14-year-old, would turn around and go like this. And when he turned around, Buffy would be like, stop. Just for a second. And then as soon as that kid would turn around and start walking again, Buffy would start, you know what I mean? Well, this kid walked all the, you know, I mean a long way, a block and a half, all the way up the walkway. And finally, I know it's like something cracked, you know, something just like, he just lost it. And he just got tired of this dog. And he turned around and he started just running after the dog. Here's what the dog did. The dog turned around and started running, but as he was running, cracked his head like this and was barking the whole time. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What am I saying? That's what Satan does. And what we do is we're running away from him, acting like, whoa, the lion's after me. No, the lion is not after you. You know, the Bible says when Satan is revealed, you know what the nations are going to say? They're going to say, this is the worm that deceived the nations. They're going to have a revelation of what this guy really, what, I mean, the worm he is, not a lion. That's why the Bible doesn't say he's a lion. He says, God, the Bible says he's acting like a lion, or he's roaring as a lion, as a roaring lion. And he's walking around the earth. Notice what he's seeking. He's seeking whom he, what? May devour. And the second, the minute, the week that you start complaining about your Christian life, the minute, the week, the hour, the week that you start, the month that you start reversing and backing up, let me tell you what, you are leaving the very one that can give you a life of peace and joy and comfort. And yes, you have to deny yourself. Yes, you have to tell your flesh to shut up. Amen. Yes, men, you have to control your eyes. Amen. Yeah, but I have an issue with same-sex attraction. All right. Well, if that's an issue, that's your issue. So get over it. Because everyone's got issues. I said everyone's got issues. And if that's your issue, that's your issue. But don't think just because that's your issue that you have some license to be able to do that because you're special. You're not special. I mean, yeah, praise the Lord, you're all special, amen. But I mean, you know what? Why in the world do we think that that's something different than something else? Everyone has stuff that their flesh wants to do. And I got to deal with mine and you got to deal with yours. And yours might be different than mine. But God says, I will be Lord. If you're in the family, then guess what? You got to make Jesus your Lord. That means Jesus tells you what to do. Yeah, but I'm attracted. Who cares what you're attracted to? Here, let me just teach you. Here is acceptable sex in the body of Christ, in the family of God. A man married to a woman. Married to a woman. Hallelujah. Listen, let me say this. People who are dealing with that, we don't need to be condescending to them or anyone. But we need to be honest with everyone. We need to recognize sin is sin. And that is ruining people's lives. Hallelujah. How many glad you still came today? So let's go to one more passage and I'll show you. Again, let's see what it really says. Okay? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But see, there's many. I know. Just like Batman. Every single episode, he got jacked up. Amen? And every single next episode, guess what he did? He got out of his mess. Amen? Why are you afflicted? Why do you have persecution? Because you're in the family of God. Amen? Sometimes people just don't like it. You're not self-righteous, but they just feel convicted. People like to sin. And when you start talking about, you know, there's something that's wrong, you're not condemning them. Sometimes all you're doing is just living your life righteously and just doing it right. Well, what do you think? You think you're, you know what I mean? And the world wants everyone to say everyone else is okay so everybody feels okay in their sin. Listen, I'm not self-righteous. I just told you everybody's got their issues. I got my issues. But don't be deceived. Whatever your issue is, if you don't lay it at the foot of Jesus, if you don't crucify the flesh, you're going to live in a jacked up life. But God will deliver you out of all your issues. Amen? Yeah, but look at Paul, man. Paul went through it. Paul had all this stuff. Well, let's look at Paul. Amen? You want to talk about Paul? All I'm saying is, guys, can we be honest with the passage of the scriptures? Let's look at Paul. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me, not one place, to happen to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. I mean, you know what? I got people that, you know, hate me in New York, hate me in San Francisco, hate me in Chicago. You know, I got all kinds of people. Paul said, you know what? All kinds of people are persecuting me. The Jews don't like me. The Gentiles don't like me. You know what? I got all kinds of people upset with me. Why? Because he was a man of God. Doesn't change what Jesus said to Paul. Said it to Paul, said it to you. The best life is a life with me. Take my yoke upon me. For let me tell you what, that's better than these other people who won't let go of their sin. Look what he says. What persecutions I endured. And out of some of them, the Lord delivered me. But there was other ones that I just had to just suck it up and just, God never delivered me out of that. Is that what the Bible says? Why do we read it like it says that? Because that's not what he says. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them. How many?
All.
All. And you can twist it if you want, and you can be deceived if you want, but I won't be deceived because I know what the Bible says in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what? If I will put my trust in him, I can understand my life, the Christian life, is the best life. Amen? Amen. Don't grow weary in doing good, for you will reap if you do not lose heart. Some of you are 4 feet. Some of you are 4 days. Some of you are 2 months. Some of you are just 2 years in front of your breakthrough. Amen. And all Satan can do is go, you know what? Kaboo! That's all he can do. That's all he's got. Amen. Somebody learn something today? Amen. Let's stand up to our feet and let's lift our hands and give God some praise. Let's thank God for his word. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let the redeemed say so. I'm redeemed. Somebody say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray.